Welcome to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast, where we discuss various dog training topics to help you become the best leader for your dog. Marvin Pierce has over 20 years of experience with obedience training for dogs located in the Sherwood, Oregon area. Offering private lessons and group clinics, the dog teacher has been able to change the lives of dog owners by helping them develop and maintain an obedient dog. For more information, contact us at marvinpiercedogteacher.com.
We can ask people on here what they feed for dog food. That's a pretty good question. We used to ask that once in a while, remember? We get everything from tri-tip to dog food.
Brisket.
Yeah. We got Caesar Milan food in today. That's pretty cool. So we're going to talk about aggressive type of dogs today. That's going to be our main subject. We'll talk about a lot of different things, but for me, it's like, what causes dogs to be aggressive, Bianca? Are you done yet?
People.
What do you feel that some of the things that people do to cause dogs to be aggressive?
Not set boundaries early on.
Yes, I totally agree. And too much affection when the dog's not being good.
Yeah.
By petting them, hugging them, and... For me, it's simple. And I was just talking to Ralph out here, a neighbor of mine. He's 90 years old. And he was asking me how I deal with aggressive type dogs. He said he'd like to sit down and talk to me sometime about training and how I train. And guarantee you, the training back 80 years ago, 75 years ago, when Ralph was a kid, you know, was a lot different than it is now. In some aspects, but still in others, it was still the same. People mm-hmm. spoil their dogs. I mean, mm-hmm. that's the bottom line. And for me, I feel, how do you fix a spoiled dog, you know? And Bianca and I have been talking, debating about me writing a book about problem dogs and training dogs and yada, yada, yada. And it's still the bottom line. It kind of comes down to the same thing. You're a leader or you're a follower. Mm-hmm. And how do you become a leader, you know? It's a lot easier for people to be a leader of a puppy than it is a six-year-old husky that wants to eat you. Mm-hmm. You know, when you get to that point in life where your three, four, five, six-year-old dog's biting you, and it don't matter whether it's a Chihuahua or a Great Dane, you know, it's like, holy jeez, what do I do now? I'm getting teeth on me, and I'm getting blood, and I need Band-Aids, and I need stitches, and... People so many times are like, oh, my dog would never bite somebody. And they believe that until it happens.
For sure.
Then yeah. Once it's happened, they're like, holy jeez, what do I do now, you know? And then people get scared of them, you know? I say the smarter people get scared of them. Me, I try to just figure out how do we get around this to teach them to be a better dog. Mm-hmm. And me be accepted to be their leader. And it's really hard for people once they get dog bit by their own dog, or any dog, really. You know, people get traumatized by it, and they're like, oh, crap, I don't want to do that. And it's the same thing when you see your dog get in a dog fight. Mm-hmm. You know, then you're really nervous. The next time you see a dog, you're like, oh, my God, my dog's going to attack. Mm-hmm. And once you think you kind of have that fixed, even with the dog fighting dog, you know, when you can keep your dog on a loose leash walking by dogs and he's not dragging you on a leash no more, you get really comfortable. But then whenever this loose dog comes running at you and your dog to say hi or fight, whichever it is, the humans, oh my God, and then they tense mm-hmm. up, and then they get their dog a hold of it, and then mm-hmm. things just get bad again because your dog automatically goes back into that fight mode.
Yeah, yeah, the humans are just as reactive as the dog is.
Yeah, and yeah. People have a hard time, you know, understanding that. And people have a hard time understanding, like right now we've got some dogs that are going to do 4 weeks boarding training because mm-hmm. they're Cali Henry. Mm-hmm. And what makes a difference of 3 weeks to 4 weeks, you know? And we've had dogs for 5 or 6 weeks before. Not one time, I think, we had a dog that long. And we've had a few dogs for 4 weeks. Not a whole lot of dogs mm-hmm. had 4 weeks, but we've had some. But...
Well, how the first week goes is kind of a big determinant.
Yeah, sets up how it's all going to
yeah,
go.
And, yeah, because yeah. most of the dogs are much more advanced than some of the aggressive dogs in the first week because they can handle it. where if we tried to rush a dog like Akko the way we are training on Nyx, we would get Akko in trouble for no good reason.
Well, we'd get bit.
Yeah, but for no good reason. Yes. I mean, it
when it's not
there's
necessary.
No reason to put the pressure too soon.
Yes, and you know, you can, I guess people do, you know, they want to try to get in there and just win that battle right off day one. I don't. It's never needed to, you know. But the thing is, for Akko, he's been here Sunday, Saturday will be 2 weeks tomorrow.
Yeah.
And he's about as far along as, in some ways, as
we set the tone for some things. Like the hardest thing was the crate, and we got that out of the way in the beginning. But we aren't trying to make him place and lay down. And
he does it now, you know. I mean, he's doing pretty well at it. But that's only been in the last 2 or 3 days that I've pushed my dog that far. And today I even making him lay down in a crate, you know.
Right.
Which the first night or two he was here, it was touch and go whether I could get him in the crate because he kept trying to go on top of it. He's like, I'm not going in. And then finally, I think the first night he went in. Then the second night, he says, I'm not going, I'm going to go on top.
Then he realized we were closing the door.
Yes, and so we worked through all of that with him, you know, and he's doing really good. The owners were here last night and done their first lesson back with him, and it went really well. I mean, I was really happy with how it turned out.
A major part of his success will be how on board they are, how open and honest they were about what challenges they have with him. How willing to learn they are.
Yeah.
And how much they kept it together, because it's emotional for people to
leave
a dog.
It is. It's really hard, especially like for them. They've been through, and I might be wrong, if Ronner didn't correct me, but I think 6 or 7 trainers.
I think 6.
And he's bet 6 or 8 people, whatever, you know. And so it's really hard when you go to drop this dog off again, you know, for another board and train. It's
spend more money.
Yeah. But luckily for them, they found, they know the people that we work with, Ruth, the deaf dog, the border collie.
Yeah.
And Ruth came out amazing. I mean, even these people, they talk about how much her mom brags about how well Ruth is still doing.
Cool. Yeah.
And for us, it's just fun to win with that, you know. But like I say, we're not always the right trainers for everybody because some people just don't like me.
Yeah, usually. If we can't get along, we can't.
Very rarely. Even me with somebody, you know, like the keyboard warriors, you know, that's out there that don't like me and they don't like my technique. Even though they don't know me, they've never seen me, they've never met me.
Never watched
And they've
you
never
train
watched
a dog.
Me train a dog, but they want to talk shit, you know. Even those people, one day if they weaken and they're like, God, I'd like to learn something about training a dog instead of feeding treats, and they call me, I work with them, you know. Mm-hmm. I don't hold no grudge like that, you know. It's just bad that people want to talk smack about something they don't understand. And we get dogs that are e-collar trained also that still didn't work, you know. The training didn't work, and I feel sometimes the training don't work with the dog and the owner is because the owner didn't get the right information.
Right.
You know, they didn't get, sometimes they didn't get told the truth, you know, that they are the problem. I mean, we have people that come here for a long time and then finally one day they're like, oh, it's me. It's like, yeah, that's what we told you when we met you.
Yeah, know? There's so many people who are teaching techniques but not addressing problems that the people have
the
that are emotional
cause,
and
the
really
root cause
hard.
Is you just spoil the shit out of your dog. And a lot of people get their dog just to hug them and pet them and not train them, you know. Mm-hmm. And they have this mindset, you know, that I'm just going to get a bag of treats and train my puppy. And it doesn't always work. I don't know if it ever really works, but maybe it does once in a while. But when you get to the aggressive type dogs, there's so many people I feel that they wake up one day and they're like, oh man, my dog's bad. Mm-hmm. And he's been bad for a long time, but he's just gotten to the point where you finally snap and, oh, geez, I got a problem. If you have to lock your dog in the back room, when you have company, if you have to lock your dog in a crate when you have company, if you got to get on your dog all the time for barking at people going up and down the road in front of your house, you got a problem. You got to get on your dog all the time for barking at the neighbor dogs on the other side of the fence, you got a problem. If your dog don't want you to greet someone or another dog, you got problems, you know. If you can't take your food bowl from your dog, you got a problem. If your dog won't hand you his bone, you got a problem. If he won't hand you his ball, you got a problem. Or at least drop him.
Well, drop it.
Release
him,
walk off from him, whichever you choose to do, you know. But any of those scenarios, you got a problem. If your dog won't move off his spot on the couch for you to sit there, you got a problem. You know, if he won't get off a chair or the couch when you ask. I mean, there's a million and one different things that you can see coming. You can see that would be the start of a bad problem. And how you address the problem, I personally wouldn't ask my dog to get off the couch and give him a treat. I mean, that's my thoughts, you know. But at the same time, I won't ask my dog to leave me and go and give him a treat for going, you know. For me, my dog's treats, good boy, good girl. And they like that sound, that tone, because of the fact that they're making an owner happy, you know. And that's what, for me, it's all about, is have a happy dog and have a happy owner, you know. But if you can't train on your dog and have fun, then you should either, two options, pay someone else to train and teach you, or get rid of your dog and get you a cat or a bird or I don't know, whatever, you know. But there's so many dogs out there that are fixable that people without the knowledge will tell you they're not, you know. Sometimes they will tell you to put them on a lot of drugs, you know, to keep them mellowed out. Me, that's just kind of a Band-Aid, you know. I don't think that fixes the dog. But I think that if you fix the dog, then you don't need the drugs. I'm not saying you don't always, because I'm sure there's dogs out there that needs them, you know. But a lot of times, if a dog, in my opinion, you know, if they need drugged up to settle down, it's sometimes, not always, but sometimes it's because, most of the time, it's because they've never been trained to just relax and settle down. They're always waiting for the owner to move, the doorbell to ring, the phone to ring, you know, the neighbors to drive by, whatever the case is. But there's so many of those things are fixable if you go to the right trainers. So, Bianca, you got anything to add to that?
Nope. Really?
Paula said she's chimed in from Wisconsin on a trip. And then she also chimed in your conversation about treats and said treats didn't work for us. It just made Talos gain weight.
Yeah, it did.
That's what me and Joey tried to feed me cake, get me to do something. Makes me lazier and bigger. So let's talk about fun things you can have with your dogs. Like Z got to go, what is he, 6 years old? Zion?
Zion.
Zion, yeah.
Yeah.
And he got to go on his first camping trip.
I don't
trip.
Know for sure how old he is. But
yeah, I think he's six. But he got to go on his first cool camping trip.
Yeah.
Not saying he hadn't been on one before, but this one he had a lot of fun. And he's been in jail, you know, in dog jail in Colorado. And he's had a pretty rough life. And now he's got a pretty great life. And she trained with other trainers, too.
Mm-hmm.
And not always, but I think sometimes the trainers don't tell you the truth because they don't want to lose your business.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
They want to keep you coming back for more money. And not saying that's true for all of them, because I know a lot of them are not that way.
I don't even know that it's about the money for some of them. It's about wanting to people please and not hurt people's feelings, so they just stay with what's comfortable.
Yeah, I've never had that issue.
No, you have not.
No. I mean, that's one thing Bianca won't argue about, you know, one of the many things, but she won't argue about it. And I try not to, you know, and people even tell me that I don't know, some people even say I'm hard now, but could you imagine what they would have thought of me 6, 8, 10 years ago? Holy shit, it would have been bad.
We won't open that can of worms.
But it's just, for me, it bothers me when someone pays you money and you're not honest with them. It bothers me when you pay somebody a wage to work for you and they don't do an honest day's work, you know? So all of those things are just, I don't know, they're kind of way of life for me. I don't never remember working somewhere when somebody didn't think I didn't do my job, you know. I mean, always got raises and yada, 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 you know. And when I was younger, I would have an attitude sometimes, but I got better about it. And I think that when it comes to the dog training world, for me, for instance, if I have, and we've done it, and you asked me before, if I have 8 new clients in here for a clinic, how do I get started, you know? Normally, I go to the worst dog, and I try to fix it and settle it down and kind of go down the line, you know? But usually, that worst dog's person's having the hardest time being here, too. They feel bad because their dog's barking, mm-hmm. whining, mm-hmm. lunging, whatever. But a lot of times for me, if I can go there and settle that dog down, it kind of helps settle the owner down. And everybody else kind of sees, holy crap, he can get a dog mine, you know. So it makes a lot of difference. But whenever I couldn't imagine having somebody come here for 3 lessons, and their dog still be dragging them down on a leash and barking and lunging, you know. for one thing, I feel if I couldn't get the dog under control the first lesson, then we would have to regroup. Like the big black dog that wanted to eat me so bad, mm-hmm. and Valerie and I don't know who else. It was just a no to do lessons with that dog because every time we did, we were taking a chance of getting bit. Mm-hmm. And the lady, I think, really understood it. I'm not sure why she didn't do board and train with us or whatever happened with her and her dog, you know. I hope she succeeded in getting her dog to be cool somehow. But I'm not going to stand there and be like, oh, yeah, I'll bring your dog back next week for a $150 lesson. Mm-hmm. Because we're not going to get nowhere. We're only going to take a chance of me getting bit, you getting bit, or her getting bit, or mm-hmm. all 3 getting bit, depending on how bad it got. But it's not fair to her for me to take her money and blow a pipe dream in her ear that, oh, we're going to fix your dog. Mm-hmm. Now, I feel we could have really fixed that dog if she had left it, you know. But when it comes to aggressive type of dogs and people with either get really mad at their dog for being bad, you know, or they really feel sad that their dog ain't being good. And there's a lot of difference between those two. And for me, you want to find a happy medium, you know, and try to fix that problem and not just go back to the being mad at your dog and aggravated your dog for being bad. I tell people, your dog is the way he is because you've taught him to be that way, or you just flat let him, you know. And I think both of those come back to the same thing. You didn't make him mine. Mm-hmm. So, Brett, we got anything on here? Mm-mm.
Nothing. Got people here, though. They're hanging out with us.
What's the craziest request you ever had somebody tell you that their dog had that wanted?
What?
What's the craziest thing you've ever heard someone say their dog demanded they do for them and they did?
The lady that had the Frenchie that wouldn't stop barking unless she shared her dinner.
I don't remember that one offhand, but and she probably shared it.
Oh, yeah.
So it would shut up.
That's why it was crazy.
Yeah. So if these people are on here, I'm not picking at you. I'm talking about someone else probably. But my craziest one is when a dog goes in the bathroom and sees there's only a few squares of toilet paper on the roll, and he barks, and you have to come and take it off and let him eat it.
Not chew it.
No, eats it.
Eats it.
But he only does it when there's a couple of squares left. He won't do it when you have a roll of toilet paper.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he only barks once, and they're, like, on it. They, like, run in there and get the toilet paper roll off and let him eat it. He loves the UPS truck. You can imagine that. It's dying of cardboard.
We always get people coming in for lessons, you know, and they have their note on their phone.
Yeah.
And they're like, okay, so what do I do about the crate? And they're like, okay, so what do I do about hauling in the car? Okay, what do I do about trimming their nails?
They, like, bring you a list?
Oh, yeah, a lot of times. Yeah, they have their list. But never has someone said cardboard.
No, that's the first time.
I said, cardboard?
I thought they said hardwood.
I just was like, and then I was like, oh, I'm sure they give him the I know someone who gives a dog boxes to destruct them.
Yeah, to play. That's
and fair, then yeah. takes them away, but they said, no, he eats yeah. it.
Yeah,
eats it. They said that they asked the vet if it's okay if he eats it, and then they said that they Googled it to make sure it's okay. That
they said it passes right through. Yeah, that's kind of different. I haven't had that before. I have had dogs that like eat tennis shoes and boots. And
the best and part was that they were genuinely asking
if they could keep doing
it. If they should continue to
cancel cardboard diet.
To eat.
Yeah. But their dog's really healthy. He's in good shape.
There's nothing wrong with him that way.
Okay.
Yeah.
So he eats good, but his dessert, I guess, is cardboard. So, or his main meal, I'm not sure which, but...
No, he doesn't eat good. He's not a good eater.
Well, he done, but he's healthy.
He eats cardboard.
He probably eats more at home.
No, he's a bad eater at home, too.
Well, but I bet he gets pieces of T-bone and pork chop. Probably a treat, a good high dollar
treat. We
didn't
even get into the subject he gets part of their... It gets a lot of cheese.
Yeah, he's really addicted to strange
cheese. That's the way
cheese.
They've lived with him... Is I guess I shouldn't have said him. We're not setting name dropping on the cardboard dog, but the way they live with him is cheese.
Yeah, that's the guy. So cheese is his favorite.
Chunk some cheese on the ground, get a few brushes in. Chunk some cheese on the ground, get a few brushes in.
You know, this morning I had him in a crate sleeping. You know, you might have seen him a couple times. And his long line was in part of it was in there. You know, because we was making him teaching him to lay down in a crate.
Yeah.
And that thing got under his back foot, you know, and I pulled it, and man, he turned around and he was going to eat somebody's hand. Because they said you can't touch his feet, so you need to remember that.
Yeah, good to know.
Yeah, I forgot about that. But to his
last night, I went to check on him. I stayed here until he settled down and played with puppies. And then he settled down, so I went home, and then Brett said, hey, I think I hear that husky. I said, okay, I'll wander over there. He went with me. And I walked back to his kennel, and I looked at him, and he was like... And I literally stood in the hallway, and I was like, dude. I said, I'm not getting you out. You didn't just get it together. And he said... And I said, no, we're just going to hang out here for a minute. And I stood there for probably 5 minutes. Brett was finishing the chickens. And he went to his bed and he literally rolled his eyes into the back of his head, laid down and went. And I said, have a good night. And and he was fine.
I figured you'd go find him a toilet paper.
But I was like, we're going to just... have a moment, and we're gonna get it together. He was like, he reached his arm through the kennel. He went like this, pulled on my sweatshirt, and I was like, you're gonna go back to bed. It's like a kid that comes out and it's like, I'm thirsty. I need a snack. I didn't get a hug from dad.
He wanted toilet paper rolled.
He did. Yeah. He was like, can I just have a piece of cardboard?
It's funny how much fun we have with those dogs sometimes, you know.
It's fun to work with the dogs, but man, if we could somehow relay how much more fun it is for everyone involved when the people are just ready to learn and ready to win. Like, that lesson went so well.
You know, but it seems like we're getting less and less people arguing with me when they come in.
Maybe you're getting better.
Not you, but them. I think it's because social media. I think they follow us more.
Maybe.
What's wrong? They said last
I'll
night.
I'll probably argue when we're not live.
Some people in a lesson last night or yesterday or whatever day that was. I don't even know now. My day's messed up. But they said they've been listening to all of our podcasts and stuff.
That helps a lot.
It makes a lot of difference when you can relate.
I think anyone who has had a bad dog and then refer someone with a bad dog to, I'm sure they give a pep talk.
They do.
It's like,
they're like, man, that guy's
somebody
great,
the other
you know?
Day said, you've got to go here. But just like, don't get your feelings hurt because they're going to tell you the truth, and you're the problem. Yeah. You're definitely going to be the problem. Just accept that now, and then you'll be okay.
What's bad is the people who go through all of the homework to come here, you know, schedule a lesson or a meet and greet, consultation, whatever we want to call it, and then they don't show up. Then 4 or 5 months later, they're come back.
We have a list for those.
Yeah, because they went somewhere else. They found a good deal, you know, down at Joe Bob's place for $99.95.
Or this one gets me. We don't need something so serious.
Yeah. My dog only bit 3 people and killed 1 dog and ate a cat.
Yeah, she's just reactive.
Yeah, yeah,
she's not
that bad.
She's never bit anybody.
Yeah. And so for me, and I always tell people, you know, shit, if Joe Bob can do her cheap, go down there. I might send my dog down there if I had a bad dog and see what he could do for him. But we do a lot more. Bianca does a lot more of the puppy stuff now. And you could really, now that you've been doing it long enough, you can see the difference when the pup, you know, comes back and 6, 8 months old for a 3-week board and train. They're set up to succeed, you know, and the owners have been set up to help them succeed.
Mm-hmm.
It makes a lot of difference for these 6, 8, 10-month-old puppies.
Yeah, the problems they're having are nothing compared to what we get if we're just now meeting you at 9 months old. Yeah.
And it makes a lot of difference. And it's not cheap by no means, you know. But to me, I always tell people, if you probably just quit your, what is it, $8 or $9 latte thing, and went to McDonald's and got one for $1, it wouldn't take you long to save up money.
Ew.
Because you might not even drink the one from McDonald's, so you just drink water. So that'd be another $1 each time. Some people go 2 or 3 or 4 times a day, you know, and get those things. And I think it would be a lot of difference. Like Kay told me today, you know, Kay gave $100. And anybody on here that follows us and listens, my little granddaughter's going to start her first year high school rodeo this year. She's trying to raise money through sponsors for her rodeos, and she got a really good thing. And it's probably, is it on our Facebook page?
No.
We should share it, huh? We'll put it on my Facebook page, Martin Pierce Dog Teacher. And she's trying to find sponsors to help her get up and down the road, because it's a lot of miles, a lot of work. And I think she's trying to raise, what, $4,000 or a little bit over that for her rodeo season. And she's got 2 or 3 rodeos this fall throughout Oregon, and then she got 2 or 3 in the spring. And so she's trying to raise some money, and Kay was here today talking about it, and Kay gave her $100 for it, and,
nice.
Which is really cool. And Kay was talking about she ought to do bottles and cans, and I don't know why kids don't. Man, I guarantee you, if I could make this kind of money when I was a kid, I'd probably be rich. I mean, I remember picking up bottles, soda bottles, the cans didn't get crap for. No, I don't even know if we had really a lot of cans around then, but you get soda bottles and you get like 3 or 5 cents for them, you know. You could buy a soda, I think, about the same price as you get a deposit for a bottle back. And now people don't do it as much, but Cody's got she'll put your sign on her trailer and all kinds of different stuff. And she'll kind of keep you informed, I think, how our rodeo season is going. And more of these kids could use, you know, sponsorships for families, because from people for their families. Because for me, the one of the great things, there's many of them, but one of the great things for the kids like Cody is she's taking care of animals since she's big enough to walk. So she respects animals and people, and she's always really polite. And now she's driving a machine that I heard costs more than her house does. She's farming, and she's 14 years old. And she's out farming and working, you know, so she's really hustling to try to make everything work. And for me, it's fun to see the people that will sponsor her, you know, for a rodeo deal. And I'm going to go in the morning and watch some rodeo. All three of Bailey, Cody, and Clay's all three rodeoing tomorrow on Sunday. So I'm going to go watch them a little while. And maybe spend the night there tomorrow night. So, but anybody that wants to sponsor, like I said, you just jump on her page and Brett will post it up there and you can check it out, what she's doing. And Bianca, you got anything you want to add?
Nope.
Really?
Got a couple people commenting. Rochelle said, Axel found his voice last couple days and we're working on it, but oh geez.
We ain't met that puppy yet, huh?
No.
Jay Tom says, and it's totally ridiculous, I think while you guys were talking about the cardboard, you guys are right. And then they also said he is so like a damn kid.
Yeah. I've never said it was ridiculous for the dog to eat cardboard. I just told him it's not necessary.
I think that
it's funny to me.
Yeah, it's totally funny. And I think when you just haven't had a quirky dog that gives you hell, you think you would never do those things, you know?
Yeah, I know people back in the day that would take their dog for a ride in the car so it would shut up.
Yeah.
It wouldn't quit barking, so they would put it in the car and ride it around for a while, like a little kid.
I used to put, I don't even know if you know this, I used to put a Tupperware lid in the front seat of my car because Scout would try and get in my lap, but I couldn't keep him in the back of the car, and I couldn't really crate him. So I put a Tupperware lid over the center console so that I could safely drive. And he would put his head over it and just watch me while we drove. And that was the way I got to and from work. That's how I did it.
There's so many things that people do, you know. For me, like sport, you know, my first sport dog I had, or second one, I guess, my cow dog. He hated to ride in my truck. He would work till he died, but he didn't like to ride. And back then, I didn't have a road out there. It was just, a grass dirt road. So I would load him in from a barn and not in my truck, and then I'd haul him up to the arena to work so he would like to ride because he knew he was going to go to work. And so that's how I got him to ride in my truck. And then once I got him trained well enough, he'd do whatever I asked. But, so there's a lot of different things people do with their dogs and stuff. But the for me, with my thing was... is I actually taught and trained my dog to ride in my vehicle, where for you and your dog was his wall. You really didn't teach him nothing but not to jump over the wall if it was up, you know. Mm-hmm. And now you have him to where he'll lay back there and behave, and you crate him, well,
most of the time. He does a lot better in the crate, yeah.
And so it's just, when you do something to make a better dog and fix a problem, it's a lot different than when you give him a cheeseburger to be good when they're being bad, because if you give them a cheeseburger for being good when they're being bad, if they want another cheeseburger, all they got to do is be bad and they get a cheeseburger. So there's a lot of difference in the technique sometimes. So, but when your dog demands you get off the couch and do something, it's really bad. When you can't ask your dog to get off the couch so you can sit down, it's really bad. When you can't ask your dog to leave you alone so you can take a nap on the couch or the recliner, it's really bad. I mean, there's so many things that are just not acceptable in my world. And people make them acceptable because they don't know how to do anything different. So, Brett, got anything?
Yeah, Paul Smith says, when people realize they're the problem and accept it, they'll be able to help their dog.
That's the truth.
If they can find the right help, though.
Suzanne Sears says, hi, guys.
Hey, Suzanne, how are you? Hadn't heard from her for a while. So, you know, how long is it before it starts raining? Oh, tomorrow. So for everybody to remember, it's supposed to start raining tomorrow. So get your, I put my wife's tiller in the shed while I go, so I'm out of the doghouse already.
Right.
She like nine times didn't even ask me to make sure I took care of her cat and dog this time, but I gotta get that tiller in the dry. I'm covered up. So her tiller is in the shed. I got brownie buttons for that. But for me, I think when the rain cart starts coming around, you know, people need to really realize that we do bathing now for dogs. Brett's been doing a lot of it. I think everybody's kind of been doing a little bit of it. Brett's been doing a lot of it here lately. So we are bathing dogs now. We got a nice grooming table and kind of stepping it up on that part a little bit before winter gets here, because there's a lot of dogs that come here and get muddy. And we do train outside a lot. So, Brett, do we need to add anything or are we good to go?
Yeah, a couple things and then I've got something for you. Suzanne says, I'm good, missing you all.
We miss you.
Yeah, you need to come check out our new round pen flooring.
Yeah, concrete in the round pen.
And then Rochelle said, me, low-key, can't wait till I can send Axel to you.
So what color doodle is Axel?
Red.
Nice.
Like deep brown.
Red and white.
Yeah.
So, you know, for me, I seen a video somewhere the other day, if I'm not mistaken, of Blue and Blaze just running and romping out in a big old grass area. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool.
That's super cool, yeah.
Those dogs couldn't get along very well, and they were housemates. And it's really fun to see how much they've stepped up with those dogs and how much more fun the dogs can have and the owners, you know.
Yeah.
So,
last thing I'd love for you guys to talk about is your training programs. Just break down every single thing that you guys offer for training programs here, just in case there's
that'll take a couple months, but Bianca, start off.
We have puppy camp, we have board and train, we have private lessons for a select few. We have a hybrid board and train program that is you drop the dog off during the day, pick it up at the end of the day, and that's pretty much a private lesson package, but with some of the benefits of board and train. That's a very few dogs qualify for that program, but if you're a good fit, it's really great. And then we do some group clinics, and for fun, we do some stock dog clinics, and that's about it.
And then we do our main three-week board and train for aggressive dogs. And with our three-week board and train, or sometimes it's 4 weeks depending on dog, but we're going to change it up a little bit here in the near future and make it start, you know, whatever day of whatever month. And we're going to try to make it every other month. Because for me, like here with this dog that we have now, Akko, I went like, I don't know, a week and a half, whatever it was, that I had to be here every morning, noon, middle of the afternoon, and night. I didn't have to stay all night because Bianca wouldn't let me. She said I shouldn't have to do that, so she did it, and I didn't argue with her. I don't like to argue.
That's not true. But doesn't always like to argue.
If I've got to be here every morning, middle of the morning, noon, and afternoon, and night, you know, we might as well try to set it up so we do two or three dogs at the same time. And that way I'm not strung out for the whole year, you know. And we really have to work hard to get it set up so I can take off for a week or two. But the way we're going to redo it, is I think it'll make life a lot easier. And then Bianca can have some time off too, you know, whatever. But I kind of make you take time off now at least once a month.
Yeah.
Where before she just get grouchier and grouchier. And so now I make her take off once in a while so she can go do something. And you're bad as me, though, not wanting to leave the kennels.
Yeah.
But it's not because I can't. It's just because I don't like to. I like to train dogs.
I like to be here.
I like work dogs. We went fishing the other day, and I'd have much rather worked Rocco and Lana.
Not
and
me.
Whoever, you know. But now not I'm going to go prairie dog hunting, so that might be my new addiction. It's only 1,200 miles one way.
You were feeling that way about fishing 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. But the prairie dog hunting, you know, I could sit there and take a nap.
There you go.
I can get in the motor home, turn the air conditioner on, go to sleep, you know. It's not moving. You know, my hip kind of quit hurting today, so that's good.
That's good.
But I, for me, I think with the dog training, you know, is, I know we're going to get off here, but the fun thing for me is to see people like you be able to take two or three or six or eight dogs off leash hiking.
Yeah.
And not worry about them, you know. And the same thing with Pie and Talus. I think they're good off leash.
Camping and stuff,
you know?
Yeah, they do off leash.
They can be good. And, the hardest thing is for people that can't get to that point is because they don't follow our program. They want to dissect it and take out. Sometimes they want to take out what's easier on them, you know. And sometimes they want to take out what's and make it easier on their dog. So either way, if you're just trying to make it easier on you or your dog, it's probably not going to work as well. Everybody's got to hustle a little bit to make it work. But if you follow through, like me, I'm already super, super excited about Blaze and Blue.
Mm-hmm.
But you wait another 3 or 4 or 5 months and see how cool those dogs are. You know, it's going to be amazing. And the fun thing is they post it somewhere where we see it. I don't know.
Instagram.
Yeah. So it's fun that we get to see how cool their dogs are being. But how much work they put in, you know. They're really good friends with Tucker. Is that right?
I don't know.
I want to say so, but I could be wrong. And so they keep up with them, and that's why Tucker, I think, ended up here because of Blue and Blaze's owners. But we get a lot of referrals, but the fun thing is a different thing is, I guess, and it kind of makes sense. But the real bad dogs, send us real bad dogs.
Yeah, yeah.
And the pretty good dogs send us pretty good dogs. Yeah. And the doodles send us doodles, you know. It's kind of like there's levels of people who send us levels of dogs. And for me, it's anytime we can help a dog or an owner have a cooler family and life, it makes it fun for us. So, all right, Brett, you got anything?
If you need dog training tools to help you, where can we find them? Where can they get some dog training tools like leashes and crates?
Oh, through our Marvin Perry Dog Teacher website, right? You got them on there?
Yes, sir.
Or you can come by the kennels if you need them, you know, and get them. We've got leashes of all different kinds of leashes now, and we've got dogs, a few dog collars, not many of those left, I don't think. I'm going to start trying to make some. But we sell some black gold dog food, and we've got probiotics, we've got vitamins for dogs, and now we have shampoos, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have different shampoos for dogs. And Bianca's done conditioning. What is it that you've done now with dog bathing? If your dog's got allergies, bald spots, or sores?
Skin restoration.
Yeah, restoration. And it's really working, you know. It's fun for me to see, like, Nancy's dog. Huh?
Time.
Oh.
We got
I guess we got to go. We got to go train dogs.
Yeah.
So we'll jump off here. But she does a lot of the grooming stuff. Not grooming, bathing, right?
Yeah.
Conditioning.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You can get a hold of us and if you got any questions. So if anybody has questions, ask them on here and we'll try to answer them next time. So thanks a lot, everybody. We're going to jump off here and y'all have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher Podcast. If you found this information helpful, we suggest following even more of our dog training tips and resources on YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search Marvin Pierce Dog Teacher.